Parsha. Parshas Vayera. Obviously, Parshas Vayera, there are all the Parshas in Bereshis have so many things to discuss. But today we're going to discuss one word. Tonight, first idea, then we'll get to Be'ez Hashem to another idea. But the first idea we're going to talk about tonight is one word. In Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Because we know, right after the three Malachim come to visit Avram Avinu, we discuss why there are three, really should have only been two, right? So we know that Avram Avinu is visited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Avram Avinu, Hashem tells Avram Avinu what's going to happen. Hashem says, how can I hide from Avram Avinu what's going on? Again, something else we've spoken about a lot, the uniqueness of Avram Avinu was that he was going to be mechanich his children in the proper way. So Hashem says, I'm going to tell Avram what happens. And in Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Vayigash Avram, Vayomar ha'af tispet tzadikim rasha. Avram Avinu approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he starts arguing for the people of Sodom. So what's interesting is, look at the pasuk right before. Vayifnu mishama anashim vayelchu sodoma va'avram odenu omed lefnei Adonai. That the malachim, here still calls them anashim, they went to leave towards Sodom. Avram was still standing in front of Hashem. And then it says, vayigash Avram. And then Avram approaches Hashem. Why does it have to say Avram approaches Hashem? Hashem is there. So what's the lashon vayigash? So that's what Rashi's troubled by. So what does Rashi say? Pasuk chav gimel. Rashi tells us the left column, Vayigash Avram, Matzinu Hagasha Lemulchama, Vayigash Yoav, Hagasha Lepius, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Hagasha Letvila, Vayigash Eliyahu Hanavi. So, Ulachal Ela Nichnas Avram, Ledaber Kashos, Ulapius, Ulatvila. Now, this is a very, very shocking Rashi when you read it. Why? We know this Rashi from Yehuda at the beginning, right? We know the idea that Hagasha has many, many different meanings, right? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda is telling Yosef, you're like Paro. I'm ready to fight you. But here, Vayigash, that Avram's ready to battle against God. Hagasha Lepius, okay, Hagasha to appease, to make nice, I get that. Hagasha to Tefillah, which is not just making nice, right? Pius and Tefillah, two different things. Pius is making nice, is appeasement, but then there's something else called tefillah. But the first one, Rashi says, is Hagasha l'melchama. And l'chol eila nichnas Avram, l'daber kashos, ulapius, ulatefillah. So, Avram Avinu, Avram is ish chesed, right? That Avram Avinu is lashon Hagasha, he's approaching God to fight God. Does that make sense? And even, it's interesting that Rashi points out that there are three different lashonos of what Hagasha means. Why does he stress Melchama first? This is the one he stresses first for Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the Amud HaChesed. Avram Avinu is Kulo Chesed, right? So let's continue to build the question. What's interesting is, turning to last week's Parsha Shlach Lecha, we find that it's in the beginning of Perek Tasvav. Beginning of Perek Tesvav, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Achar, bottom of page 64, one word on the page, Achar, Hadvarim Ha'ela, page 66, the top, Hayad Devar Adonai El Avram, B'machazel Limar, Al Tira Avram, Anochi Magen Lach, Schar Chahar B'maod. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram Avinu. He tells him, don't be afraid, I'm going to protect you. Schar Chahar B'maod. We don't find this lashon. Your schar is very, very great, Avram Avinu. Why here, all of a sudden, is Avram Avinu's schar very great? All of a sudden now, this is where Hashem, what happened just before, and we know, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela, Rashi says, Achar implies, right, soon after. Acharei is a time. Achar means soon after this happened. So Hashem's proclamation to Avram Avinu of schar chahar b'maod is soon after what happened in Perek Yedalad. And the last part of this is, of course, the most famous story with Avram Avinu. The most This famous story with Avram Avinu. I was actually having a debate about this with my Talmidim today. I said, come on, what are you talking about? The most famous story with Avram Avinu is obviously the Akedah, no?
Yeah.
Right? Right, 100%. One of my Talmidim was trying. I said, no, you're crazy. Right? Obviously, it's the Akedah. And what's maybe the biggest question about the Akedah? Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Page 102. What's the biggest question about the Akedah? No? Isn't this the biggest question about the Akedah when you think about the Akedah?
A lot of questions.
Well, no. How could he do that? You don't want to kill your kid sometime? Well, whoops, I'm being recorded and people are watching this, right? No, not, I don't want to kill my kids ever. That's a joke. Of course we do. Again, did Hashem really want him to do this?
I think it's a question of Yitzchak. It's like, how did Yitzchak go?
Like, how did Yitzchak go? So that's why B'chol Nafshecha is Yitzchak, right? My favorite Baal HaTurim that I often say, and it's a little bit related to this, but my favorite Baal HaTurim is the first Pasuk of Shema. V'aftas Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha B'chol Modecha. How can we come to love God with all our heart, all our soul, B'chol Modecha, everything we have? How could that be? So the Baal HaTurim, the author of the son of the Rosh, the author of the first Shulchan Aruch, the Arba Turim, that Rav Yosef Karo based his Shulchan Aruch on, says that the Hafta is Osios Ha'avos. The Chalavavcha is Avram, Umatzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha, B'chal Nafshcha is Yitzchak Avinu, who's willing to just give up his soul. B'chal Modecha is Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu is the one that tells Hashem in the beginning of Ayetze, you help me out, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. Everything I have, I'm going to be giving of it to you. B'chol Me'odecha, and everything that you have. So, B'chol Nafshcha is Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was willing to give it. So, when you look at the Mefarshim, you're right. So there are, you know, more basic questions, but I think the most famous question when you look at Mefarshim, and this is something that's hotly debated, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer, Al Tishlach Yadcha El Hanar V'Atos Lomuma, Ki At Yadati, What does this mean? Why Yirei Elohim? Right? That you didn't hold back your son. Meaning, what's the highest level of serving God? Avas Hashem. The Rambam says. And doesn't it make sense? Of course we know. The highest level of serving God is Avas Hashem. This is the 10th test. Again, according to, there is an opinion that the burial of Sarah is the 10th test, which we've spoken about, if you don't remember. We'll have to speak about it again next week. Why is that? I mean, really? Burial of Sarah, a greater test than the Akedah? A harder test than the Akedah? Okay, so there are a number of approaches why that might be. But according to Rov Rishonim, the majority of the opinions in counting up what are Avram's 10 tests, because the Mishnah tells us. The Mishnah Perkei Avos says Avram Avinu had 10 tests, right? So the Rov Rishonim, Rov Mefarshim on that Mishnah say, this is test number 10. So this is Avram reaching the apex. This is Avram at the top, and that's why in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it in fact says Avram, Avram, right? Why Avram, Avram? Because we know Avram Tata has now matched the Avram Mila, meaning there's a Chaim Marcus here below, there's a Chaim Marcus above. You know, we're trying to make the image of who we are below live up to the potential of who the Eibishter knows we can be, right? So that's why there are few people, Avram, Avram, Moshe, Moshe, the few people that their name is repeated right after each other. And it's saying that, some explain that at this moment, the Avram Tata, the Avram below, matched the Avram Ila, the Avram above. This was a moment of Shlemus, of Avram Avinu. So at this moment of Shlemus, Ati Adati Ki Arei Elokim Ata, that you fear God, I don't understand. If we're saying that this is the high, Avram finally is reached through this Nisayun, and as the Ramban writes, something that we always have to remember throughout life, we have to remember the Ramban's Yisod in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayera. Hashem doesn't tell us, doesn't test us to see what we'll do, right? Why doesn't Hashem test us to see what we'll do? Because Hashem knows what we're going to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists beyond time. Okay, don't try and wrap your head around that. That's, the Gemara in Chagiga says we're not supposed to. Our little finite minds can literally go insane trying to think about it. Those are one of the things. But Hashem is beyond time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to choose. So Hashem obviously doesn't give a test for us. So the Ramban famously says, why does Hashem test us? For us, right? For us to know what we're capable of. So here he's testing Avram. So what's going on? So this is Yisod that you'd find in many Mefarshim. Rav Soloveitchik talks about this. The Lubavitcher Rebbe talks about this. Many, many Mefarshim talk about this. Let's start with the one that we started on. Vayigash Avram. Right? Vayomer Haftispa. Why here Lashon Hagasha? Why here does Rashi start with Hagasha L'Milchama? That's the one he Dafka starts with. And it's ironic because the proof text of Milchama is the last one in all of Tanakh. Where's that proof text from? Do you see where? Divrei Hayamim. The last book in all of Tanakh. The proof text for Pius is Vayigash Eilav Yehuda. That's later on. That's Parshas Vayigash. Hagasha L'Tfil is Malachim Aleph. Right? So I don't understand. Rashi's even going out of order. He's taking the proof text for that's the last proof text in all of Tanakh, and he's moving that to the front of the line. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says that he thinks the key is in one word Rashi uses. Now you could understand it in one way, but the Rebbe takes it a different way. Ulechol Eila Nichnas Avram. Ledaber Koshos Ulapius Ulatfila. To all of these, Nichnas Avram. What does Nichnas Avram mean? So Pashup Shat, Nichnas Avram means that Avram, Nichnas, he entered in front of God for all of these things. Ready to fight, to be Matthias, to try and appease, and to daven. So Lubavitcher Rebbe argues, Nichnas doesn't only mean that he entered in front of God for these things, but what does Nichnas mean? L'chol Eila Nichnas Avram. To all of these states of mind, these perspectives, Nichnas Avram entered. And the Rebbe says a tremendous yisod. He says, we often think that Avram Avinu was the Ish Chesed, because naturally he was a very loving person, right? He's the Amud HaChesed. And he said, it could be that that's true. But what we have to understand is that the Enivus of Avram Avinu, the humility of Avram Avinu was such that he wasn't doing these things because he was so nice. He wasn't doing these things because he was so loving. He was doing these things because that was the Ratzon Hashem. That was what Hashem's will was. And therefore, Vayigash Avram, that Avram Avinu approaches, the very first thing that he has to ready himself for is Melchama, because that's the one that's so against his nature. But that's the first thing. And so often, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that when we are dealing with different nisyonos, so often they're exactly against our nature, right? That specifically our Achilles heel, that is always what we're being tested on. That's always what we're being tested on. And it's interesting that Avram Avinu, right, tremendous chesed that Avram Avinu does all the time. But the question is, oh, 1 second, excuse me. Someone just texted me that I didn't turn off the waiting room. I apologize about that. After Zooming for so long, I should remember to shut the waiting room. I thought I did, and I didn't. Okay, sorry. Apologize. Someone DM'd me. Okay, so Lemaisa, that this is the yesod in life. Expect your nisyonos specifically at your weakness, right? The enemy always hits the weak side. Right? They don't go to the side that's the most fortified. So not that chas v'shalom, that it's the enemy. But when we talk about the Ramban's Yisod, about a nisayon, that what's the purpose of a nisayon? To draw out our potential. So what the area that we think we have the least potential, that's what we have to be tested on, right? That's what has to be drawn out. The thing that we think, oh, that's not me. Really? Hashem said, really? It's not you? Let me test you. Let me challenge you. Let me show you who you really even are. And so Avram Avinu, when he's approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the people of Sodom, which also we've spoken about many times, so Avram Avinu, Vayigash Avram, he realizes the first thing that he has to do is be ready to fight for them. To daven, of course Avram Avinu will daven. Pius, Avram Avinu be Matthias. That's his midah. That's the chesed. That's the nice. Being able to relate and give off the love. But Milchama, that's not so pashut. That's not so pashut for Avram Avinu. Right? And that's his challenge. And that's why in last week's parsha, Perek Tezvav Pasuk Aleph, right? Achar advar me'ela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Scharcha harbe ma'od. Why Scharcha harbe ma'od here? Why are you so... What happened in Perek Yudalet? Oh, you know what happened in Perek Yudalet? Avram Avinu went to war. Avram Avinu went to war and killed people. Now, that was certainly not lefi tchunas nafsho. That certainly was not, you know, what he was comfortable doing. And Rav Salvatric famously said, that's why Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, now he comes out to greet Avram. Vayivarcheyu, vayomer baruch Avram, le'el yon konei shemayim v'aretz, baruch el yon asher migen tzarecha v'yadecha v'yitin l'masar mekol. Meaning, Rav Salvatric says, Malki Tzedek, that Chazal tell us was shame, right? He must have known that Avram Avinu before this. Avram Avinu was famous. This is the first time he goes to bless Avram Avinu? Why didn't he bless Avram Avinu earlier? Because Avram Avinu, yeah, the chesed and all, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's all nice. Avram Avinu, you want to be worthy of my blessing? You know what you have to do? You have to be ready to fight. I want to see you go against your nature. I want to see you stand up for God in a way that makes you incredibly uncomfortable. That you have to do, act with tremendous gevurah. Not that you have to act with your chesed, but you have to act in such a loving way. And this, of course, is how some explain the lashon of the Akedah. Can you think of a test that is more antithetical to the fundamental nature of Avram Avinu than killing his son? On so many levels. On so many levels. Right? And as someone pointed out, just on the level of Emunah, what do you mean? Hashem promised ki b'yitzchak yikar l'chazara. That's what Rav Wolfson said. Rav Wolfson said the test is Emunah, meaning Hashem just told Avram, ki b'yitzchak yikar l'chazara. Yitzchak is going to be the one that's going to inherit you when Yishmael, right, is being sent away. Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. And now Hashem tells him, take Yitzchak and offer him up as a carbon olah. Avram never once says, one second, Hashem, didn't you just tell me, Yitzchak Yikar al-Chazara, now you're telling me to go and take Yitzchak and offer him up on the Mizbeach, to offer him up as a carbon? So it's a challenge of Emunah, which was one of Avram's primary midos, but also, obviously, a challenge of Chesed, to act with such gevurah. In fact, Rav Rosenzweig, Shlita, my Rebbe, from one of my Rebbeim, from YU, Rav Rosenzweig said, you know, it's so interesting that so much of Avram Avinu's life is mirrored by Yitzchak, right? Like Yitzchak was the first one to receive a Mesorah, and that's like what he's all about. Whatever his father does, that's what he does. You know, when there's a famine, he's going down to Egypt, Hashem says, no, you can't go, because you're an Ola Tamima. You know, he wants to marry, you know, someone from his father's family. Avram, of course, makes the shidduch. But there's so many things that Yitzchak patterns after his father. Most famously, of course, and told us of the wells, right? The wells that Avram just digs, that Yitzchak, what does he do? He redigs his father's wells. And then he digs his own wells also. But the idea of Mesorah, I'm redigging the wells, you know. So, but we don't find Yitzchak going out at all. We don't see the chesed of Yitzchak anywhere. We don't, like, doesn't exist. So yes, of course, we say Yitzchak is a gevur, but so much of what he does, he mimics his father. Why doesn't he mimic his father's chesed? There are no stories of him, right? So Rosenzweig said, what was the most pivotal experience between Avram and Yitzchak in his whole life? It was seeing what midah of his father? Gevur. That's what he knew from his father more than anything else. Yeah, there was chesed. But when he really saw the godless of his father, it was in a moment of gevura. It was in a moment of gevura. And so when Yitzchak says, I want to be like my father, which midah is he holding on to? He's dafka holding on to the midah sa'gevura. But this is why the irony is, Avram is being tested with gevura because he is chesed. Yitzchak sees this gevurah from his father, and then he takes it, and he is the Pachad Yitzchak. He is Kulo Din, right? That's Yitzchak Avinu, gevurah, ironically enough. Of course, the Gemara famously says the one that's going to save the Jewish people in arguing against Hashem and Din is Yitzchak. Yitzchak's ultimately, at the end of the day, is the one that's going to stand up and save the Jewish people from the tremendous Nisyonos at the end of time. But here, this is why some explain, Vayikra Malach Hashem Avram Avram, you're complete. Why now were you Avram Avram? Ki ati adati ki yireil kemata. Now I know that there's Yira together with your Ava. Because Avram Avinu, up until this point, we saw, yes, he had some givura vis-a-vis Lot, saving him. We see he approaches Hashem with for Milchama, which is also pretty audacious. I mean, that we don't expect that from Avram Avinu. That's what he's doing, right? We miss that Rashi sometimes. That nichnas to l'milchama against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again, for who? For the people of Sodom? Really? You're going to go to war with God? Yeah. That's what you do. And again, there's obviously a lekach, a lesson there as well. That what are you willing to go to war for? Avram Avinu goes to war to save people, right? That's what he goes to war for. He goes to war to save Lot, the four kings and the five kings. He goes to war against God to try and save some of the most wicked people in the world, right? And in the last episode, it's really war against himself, right? You know, we often think Avayashkim Avram Baboker. Yes, he went with alacrity. He went with zrizus, but was he happy about it? Do you think Avram went whistling to go to the Akedah and smiling? The Midrashim that Avram went crying to the Akedah. And that's why Yitzchak realized who was the Seh. Don't think this was easy for Avram. There are Midrashim that Avram was going to brachim to the Akedah. But at yadati ki reil kimata.
And it
Right. No, exactly. That's the point. Exactly, Sharon. I mean, there are those that say, I mean, it might be a little kfirit to say this, that Avram failed the Akedah. Because it really says, Avram was supposed to tell Hashem, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not saying who's that, but that's like borderline heresy, you know? Yeah. I'm not sure if it's borderline heresy. It might be heresy. I mean, certainly according to the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, it's probably heresy. It's heresy to say such a thing. Right? So, but you're right. That's a goof of the point, Sharon. Exactly. That at yadat kirei. But that's why this is the nisayon in which Avram finds shleimus. The chesed, the love, he got it down. That's him. No problem. Fighting wars to save people against Rishon, good. Fighting war against God to save people, okay. Now fight a war against yourself to kill your son. And in our life, of course, so often we have the same nisyonos over and over. Because as the Ramban said, what's the purpose of nisayon? The purpose of nisayon is to show us the greatness that we have inside. You know, that's something that whether it was the famous story of the Chazon Ish, of standing up for the parent of a special needs child, like that they have a nisayon, that they're so great. Now, you ever heard that? That he would stand up for the parents of special needs children. I know there are those who say that the tzaddikim stood up for special needs children because they were gulim, whatever, we're not going to get so crazy. You know, not tonight. You don't talk about these things at night. Then you never sleep, right? You're just thinking about these things too much. But there's stories that he would stand for the parents of special needs children because saying they are given a nisayon that I wasn't given. So they have a greatness that is beyond what I could comprehend, that they have such an Messiah, right? And we know, obviously, we don't even have to talk about, you know, the story we'd say all the time, with the Satmar Rebbe telling us Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael when he wasn't going to be back again, you want a bracha, go find someone putting tefillin over numbers, they're much greater than I am, they can always give you a bracha. You know, we have no idea, right? Nisyonos of others. And the truth is we only see things ben asafa v'lachutz. We only see people's lives on the outside. But everyone knows what they struggle with. And it's over and over and over. Because there's a greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's trying to draw out from you. Right? And that's what I tell Talmidim for years. Of course, I once had a Rebbe tell me he was struggling with one midah for 20 years. And this Rebbe's a big tzaddik. And I can't tell you the chizuk that gave me. When I was in high school, Rebbe telling me I'm struggling with something for 20 years, I'm working on Amida. Like, wow, unbelievable. Why? What does that mean? It meant that he felt, and again, on what level, he was such a tzimamsh, like, you know, the tipus, the image of a tzaddik, a yasher, this person. But the idea that he's working on something for 20 years means he knows that there's more greatness he has to draw out. And that's what we're capable of. That's what we're capable of. And so that's why when we look at the nisyonos that we have, b'chlal u'b'frat, as a people and as individuals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us in the area where we can be the greatest. Where we can be the greatest. And we just have to recognize them as nisyonos. And like we've said many times, Avram Avinu had 10 major nisyonos in his life. We have 10 major nisyonos in our lifetime, tzaddikim say. 10 major crossroads. We have, but we know every day we have lamod b'nisayon. Every day we have nisyonos that we have to step up to, and we have to realize that these are opportunities HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us to draw out who we really are, and who, not who we could be, who we are. It just has to be drawn out. You know, that's why some say, that Avram Avinu, right? We talk about Avram Avinu's Eshel. We talk about Avram Avinu's in this week's parasha. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara, right? How did he used to run his inn? So he used to run his inn, that, right? We know this when we were little kids, right? What would he do? He would say, people say, oh, how much do we owe you? And like, no, you don't owe me anything. What do you mean we don't owe you anything? Let me teach you about Hashem. You know, thank Hashem. So the Medrash says, there are people who didn't want to thank Hashem. No, I don't want to thank your God. I'm going to thank you. So what did Avram Avinu do? Remember? What would he charge them? Charge them a lot. The Medrash says he would charge them a lot. And he would say to them, yeah, oh, you want to thank me? Okay, so here's your bill. And they were looking like, what a bill? He was like, what do you mean? I gave you meat and wine in a desert. The whole desert experience, right? You wanted glamping, whatever it's called, right? You wanted, I gave it to you. I gave it to you in a desert. What, you think you sometimes like go into a restaurant in Ben Yehuda? No, I gave you this desert experience, Beersheba, with the camels walking through. You know, camels, mamash, walk through parks in Beersheba. It's wild. You ever see those videos? It's like crazy. It's like, yeah. All right. So Avram Avinu gives him this check that's like outrageous. Like, that's crazy. Like, I'm going to have to sell my camels. They're like, or you can just thank Hashem. So I don't understand. Like, Avram Avinu, like, we always think of Avram Avinu, the nice, Makariv. Like, I don't know if Avinu would do that, you know? Like, really? Like, would they do that? So why is Avram Avinu engaging in kfiyat datit, religious coercion? Forcing them? So it's actually the Bavitcher Rebbe who says, yeah, sometimes you have to be forced to recognize things. And that's exactly what Nisayon is, isn't it? Sometimes you have to be forced. And Avram Avinu saw that some people had to be forced to see things. And obviously we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we shouldn't have such nisyonos, right? That we shouldn't be challenged in such ways. But this is something that when you reflect on the life of Avraham Avinu and you looked at the nisyonos, you look at the Akedah, which is the apex, which is the greatest moment, you know, in Avraham Avinu's spiritual ascent. And again, you know, from Rosh Hashanah davening, it seems to be one of the greatest moments in all of history. Was when Avram totally went against his teva. Totally, absolutely. And that's why he was Avram. And that's what we have to recognize. That we're going to have the same challenges over and over. And it's specifically to the weak side. That's what the HR is trying to do to help us. Again, the HR is a malach of Hashem. To get us to struggle, to get us to bring out that sometimes it's the lachat, sometimes it's the pressure that creates the diamonds. So there are two other things, but let's try and do one quick other thing. One quick other thing, because this is also very important in terms of Al Pi Derech Avoda. And this is something a number of tzaddikim point out. Perek Yates, Pasuk Yedzayim. Right? So here we're talking about Yates Yitzayin, what's happening in Yates Yitzayin? So this is, of course, the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. And right, the famous stories we've told in the past of the Bnei Slot that Rav Moshe Feinstein had shot, why they named. There's so many things to talk about here. But Perek Yates Pasuk Yitzayin, bottom page 86, Vayihicho Tziyom Osam HaChutza, Vayomer Himolet Al Nafshecha, Al Tavit Acharecha, Va'al Tamod B'chal HaKikar HaHara, Dimalet Penti Safeh. That the Malachim tell Lot, when they brought him outside, said, run for your lives, don't turn around, don't stay anywhere in the plain, run to the hills, otherwise you might be consumed in the destruction that is Sodom and Amorah. So what's interesting is, Al Pidrush, you find in Chassidus Shesvarim, that what is he being told? He malet al nafshecha al tabit acharecha. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tursky has this in his parasha, his sefer and parasha, but it's in many Chassidus Shesvarim. He malet al nafshecha. If you want to save your soul, al tabit acharecha. Don't be constantly looking in the past and second guessing yourself. Don't be beating yourself up about choices you made in the past. Just don't do it. Don't do it. It's not healthy. Like, that's really what keeps us up at night, right? That's really when you wake up to go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't sleep for another 2 hours. It's like thinking about decisions you made, I don't know how many years ago, and like, really? Really? So this is what, we're all there. We're all there. Come on. Like, let's just be real. We're all there. We all have this. And this is what the tzaddikim tell us. Himalet al nafshecha. Run and save your life. Al tabit acharecha. Stop looking behind you. Stop looking in the past. Stop questioning. You are where you are right now because Hashem wanted you here. Right? If you would have told me 20 years ago I'd be here right now, I would tell you you're high. You're crazy. What are you talking about? Yeah, we're going to go, right? But here we are. Here I am. Right? Again, I hope I won't be here another 20 years. I hope Mashiach will be here. And Mashiach will be here tomorrow. I hope we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, you know? Josh Geiger's looking around for us, you know, for that land. But Lamaisa, this is such a yisod. Himalit al nafshecha. Save yourself. Run. Save your soul. How? Al tabit acharecha. Don't look back. Stop looking back. Enough, because you know what looking back does? You know what looking back does? What does it do? Does it fix anything? No, you know what it does? It makes you depressed. It makes you depressed. And Dr. Tursky, in his sefer, he goes off on it. He goes, that's one of the classic tests of the Yetzer Hara. What does he do? Makes you think about the past. And just depress you and get you upset. And again, ultimately, yes, we have Bechir Chavshis, but ultimately Hashem, as Rabbi Arya Kaplan describes him, I think just the best way for us to understand this, God is the ultimate chess master. Right? You tell a chess master playing a novice, I want the board to look like this in 43 moves. I want the board to look like this. Even though he or she, right, Queen's Gambit, he or she is playing someone else, they can make the board look like that in 43 moves. They can make the board look like that in 43 moves. They know exactly how to move, to make you move, especially your first few moves. They'll see exactly how you're thinking. So Ari Kaplan, he says, Hashem is the grand chess master. He knows how to move all the pieces to get you to move. In what ways, right? But, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us everywhere and everything. So, enough. He goes, that's a Yetzer Hara that gets you focused. And he says, look in page 1086, Parshas Nitzavim. I know you think like, wow, we're jumping ahead a little, aren't we? Right? Perek Chavtes. Psukim Tes through Yudalid. Right? So you'll notice something, right? Tes through Yudalid. You're dealing with six psukim. There's a word that shows up in these six psukim many, many, many times. Right? What word is that? Hayom. It's in Pasuk Tes, Hayom. It's in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hayom. It's in Pasuk Yud Beis, Hayom. It's in Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's twice, Hayom, Hayom. So what's going on here? So this is really Moshe Rabbeinu's last address. Tem Nitzavim Hayom. This is the day Moshe Rabbeinu's dying. Nitzavim Vayela Chazinu Zos HaBracha were said of Moshe Rabbeinu, the last day of his life. And Tzadikim say, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu wants to tell us? The biggest bracha I can give you is to live in Hayom. Don't live in the past. Don't look back. It's just going to make you crazy. There are million what-ifs that we think, what if, what if, what if? You don't think I'd play what if? What if I stayed in Eretz Yisrael 20 plus years ago? Of course we play that game, what if? Is it healthy on any level? It's just totally debilitating. Emotionally, psychologically, and ultimately we know then it gets to physically. Because if it's emotionally, psychologically debilitating, then it affects you physically as well. So this, and again, that's the urgency. That if a person, himolit al nafshecha, save your soul. How are you going to save your soul? Al tabit acharecha. Don't turn around. Enough. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stop doing it. And I speak to myself also, as I'm speaking to everyone on the computer and everyone here, and everyone who's going to be listening to this. It's such a machla. That we think, what if? That's the stuff of comic books. Leave that for the comic book writers. What if? Right? In our lives, we don't say what if. In our lives, we say, Hayom, here I am. I'm here for Tafkid. And what does Eibster want from me today? Okay? All right, so I just gave you permission to stop thinking about that. All right, now you give me permission to stop thinking about that. Okay, Yishkoyach. Have a good night, everyone.